Pillars of a Good Friendship. This is Friend Sunday, and we want to grow in our relationship. The Bible tells us that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Having and cultivating a good relationship with someone takes work. It takes work. There are situations where it's light work. It's easy work, at least at some points. But I want you to understand that there have to be some important building blocks in a truly good friendship. A lot of times we can enter into some kind of infatuation or some kind of a relationship where we like what somebody does for us, and so we call them our friend. But you know what? Those friendships usually don't last, and they're not mutually beneficial. It's important for there to be mutual cooperation and care on both sides of the relationship. Whether that's in a basic friendship with a student, a fellow student, or a neighbor, or whatever, a friend in the community or at church, or whether that's our spouse, I trust that we can cultivate a good friendship with them. And here's some principles, some pillars. These are things that a friendship must be built on. And so some pillars of a good friendship. We notice Jonathan and David. Now, here's a man, Jonathan, who could have had a lot of envy. I mean, he is the king's son, right? And normally, he would be the next king in Israel. I mean, he was entitled to the throne, except that God had taken the throne away from his father. Because of his disobedience, his sinfulness, God had taken the throne away from Saul and his family and said, Saul, David is going to be the next king. Now, Saul was very, very jealous and hateful towards David. And as we find him now pursuing David for his life, I mean, King Saul wanted David dead. Jonathan is in a very difficult spot. He cares about his father. I mean, he loves his father, but yet he is good friends with David. And not only that, Jonathan has a good head on his shoulders and he loves God. And he knows that this is God's plan, that Jonathan would not be the next king, but that David would be the next king. And so Jonathan has he wasn't jealous of his friend, he wasn't envious. He wasn't going to fight for what he could maybe attain. He actually was a very, very faithful friend. And so I want you to understand here, first of all, we'll notice verse 16, 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. Here is a friendship. And here's a friend who has come out into the hiding place where David is. I suppose he received a text message or something like that to know where to go. Got the inside scoop there, as friends often do. But, pillars of a good friendship. Let's notice number one. The first pillar of a good friendship is that it must be built on genuine love. Genuine love. Now, we're looking at a situation here of two gentlemen, all right? And we're not talking about anything here inappropriate, anything contradictory to the Word of God. Love is simply having care for someone else, to have care for someone else. Love is an important thing that should be present in all good relationships. There should be love, whether that's a father and a child, whether that's a husband and a wife, certainly, whether that's friends in school. There should be a care for one another. so that you look out for one another, like David and Jonathan here. Jonathan is, he's not envious or hateful towards David, though he could have been, had he had a sour attitude or would not accept God's will for his life. He might have been trying to grasp the kingdom that David was destined to receive from the Lord. And so, but no, he was a good friend, and there was genuine love. You see, a lot of times relationships begin with common interest. You know, I like to get up early and go riding bicycle, and down at the park there on the trails, I meet someone else who also is out at that time riding bicycle. And I say, "Hey, Jim, how are you doing?" "Oh, good, you know. Hey, you know," and we see each other time and again and time and again. We get to develop a relationship. We look forward to riding bicycle together down the trails in the cool of the morning. And, you know, that relationship is built at this point just on, you know, common interest. And we happen to be doing the same things at the same time. We got something in common that's attracted us together to spend some time. But you know what? If that relationship is going to be good, and if it is going to endure, it's going to at some point have to shift from not just common interest, but to genuine care. You see, because Jim is out riding with me one morning. This is all a fictitious story. It's not real. I don't get up early. But no. And I don't ride bike very often. But you know what? For sake of the story, Jim and I are out riding, let's say, and my you know, newfound good friend for the last 5-6 months. And we're going, and Jim hits a curb or a grate that was uneasy there, and his bicycle tire goes down in there and it flings him on the cement. He hits the fire hydrant and he fractures his spine, and he is seriously injured. I say I'm good friends with Jim, right? And this is, we've enjoyed good times together, and now's the test of whether this was a good friendship. Whether I am actually a good friend to Jim, because you know what? I still like to ride bike, and I'm still perfectly healthy. Now, I maybe would have, obviously, as any decent person would do, I would have sought the medical emergency help right away and all those things, and we would have got Jim in the hospital, and I would have probably visited him through that time in those early days. But when we would have realized that, you know, Jim's life has changed forever, and Jim is now bound in a wheelchair, and his spine has been broken, and he's never going to be able to ride bike again, so the doctor says. Now, if I just had a common interest relationship with Jim, that would have been a time where there would have been a distancing in our relationship, and we would have, in the years to follow, parted ways. If that relationship was only built on common interest. Because Jim now, you know, he's in a very difficult spot. He can't ride anymore. And so I find a new friend to ride with. Bob also likes to ride bike, and so I begin riding with Bob. You see, our relationships must go deeper. You see, common interest attracts, but love binds. You see, if I have developed a good friendship with Jim where there is mutual care, then you know what? I'm going to be his friend even though he can't come riding bike any longer. I'm going to go and visit him. I'm going to care about his family who's now suffering. I'm going to do things to help them. I'm going to now enter into a place of sacrifice. Why? Because I really do care about Jim. Do you see the depth of where our friendship should go? Thankfully, not every friendship ends up in an accident like that. But you know what? Whether it's our spouse, whether it's that college friend, or you know, we ought to have genuine care if that relationship's going to go somewhere. Now, I want to tell you about someone who has genuine care for you. You see, because there is someone who has gone out of his way to love you. You see, he's your God. He's your creator. And he does not have ill motives for reaching out to you. His motives are for your betterment. He loves you. And the greatest friend we could ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll share with you this verse here. Out of John 15, verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, in fact, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus spoke that to his disciples. And he said in some fashion here, he says, I love you so much, and I will lay down my life for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling fleeth when the wolf cometh. But he said, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus did not only, friends, this morning, Jesus did not only lay down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for his enemies. Because when Jesus died on the cross, none of us were his friends. We were all separated from him. We had all done hurtful things to God. Do you realize that sin is offensive to God? You see, God's law, be it the Ten Commandments and other commands of the Word of God, these commands are not just like arbitrary things that God said, boy, we got to have some rules, you know, think of something. No, these are part of the very character of who our God is. His name is holy. How dare we use it as a curse word? His person is worthy of worship. How dare we not give it to him, and how dare we give it to someone or something else? You see, his name is holy, and he loves the truth. That's why lying is so wicked. It's because he is truth. He loves the truth. And so when we sin against God, we are sinning against his very person. It is offensive. He is allergic to sin. And we have caused him great sorrow and pain. But God, in his love, loved the very ones who cursed his name. When Jesus was there being nailed to the cross, do you remember one of the first phrases the Bible records that Jesus spoke? And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's rough, tough soldiers who are pounding spikes through his hands and his feet. And here are men who are gambling over his clothing. And he says, Father, forgive them. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? And can it be? Wow. The greatest friend you could ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has laid down his life. Please notice over in the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 6. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, that is, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, he demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he is a friend. He has reached out to us with love. He's offered his love to us. He has demonstrated his love to us. Please go over, if you will, to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. Whether it's an earthly friendship or whether it's the pursuit of a relationship with God, let's understand that a relationship, a lasting relationship, must be built on genuine love. And so here, God extended his love to us. The Bible says here, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to this world to condemn us. He didn't come to show us up for our wrongdoing. You know what? We are already shown up. We are already condemned. We needed the Savior. And that's what Jesus came. He came in love and he came to save. Notice verse 18. "He that believeth on him," that's on Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, Jesus came to save. He is the ultimate friend who pursued us when we were unlovely, pursued us when we were ungodly, and he extends a loving hand to us. You see, when Jesus found us, it wasn't when we were riding bicycles together on the bike path in the cool of a morning. When Jesus found us, it was when we were ravished in and hurting and aching and wallowing in the grime of our sin. That's when he found us. You see, he found us paralyzed there in a hospital room, as it were. He found us there in anguish and in a bad condition. And it's there he reached out. It's there he said, "I love you. And I will help you. And I will heal you." You see, the great disease of man is a sin problem. It plagues us. It plagues our children. And Jesus is the only hope. He is the only cure. He is the one who came from heaven's glory down to this sin-damaged earth to heal, to save all those who would come to him. You see, if we don't come to him, the Bible tells us that we are condemned. Without him, without faith in him, without that resting in Jesus as our Savior, we are condemned. Nothing more needs to happen. We're already damned. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Do you have him as your friend? Have you opened your heart to his love? I want you to notice also, secondly, not only should a good friendship, it must be built on genuine love, but also notice that a good friendship is nurtured through giving and receiving gifts. I remember when I was just developing in the beginning stages of my relationship with Kara, who is now my sweet wife. I had, you know, had a visit with her whole family, and I got to meet her in her own habitat. And we had started writing. Of course, she lives 830 miles northwest of here, right, in those days, up in Sherwood Park, Alberta. It was a long ways. I'd enjoyed a visit up there and had, from that time, began communications through snail mail at that time, and then email. It was invented then. And I did prefer the snail mail. I really liked that. It was just a personal touch that I really appreciated. And it's a good thing even now. Take your time. Enjoy a good relationship. But you know what? As we began to build that relationship, the first time she came to visit here, the first time that we were together as friends, all right, she came down here to help at our youth camp. Of course, to see me more so. But she came in, I think on a, I don't remember whether it was a Sunday night or a Saturday night or whatever. And she came in, and anyway, on Monday, we went for a little walk. And my two nieces, Esther and Anna, they were, what, 8 and, I don't know, 8 and 10, 10 and 12, somewhere in that area. And they came with us, and we went for a walk in Harvey. And we strolled down on that walking path there, the trails kind of in the valley in the middle of town there behind the hospital. And we walked there, and my two nieces were trailing behind a little ways. And we walked there, and of course, I had something burning in my pocket. It was jewelry, because I knew she was coming, and I wanted to treat her special. I wanted to express that I liked her, that I appreciated her friendship, and I wanted to get to know her more. And so I had a gift. Now, it wasn't a ring. Not yet. It was just a necklace. But it was a white gold necklace with a very small diamond. And it was just a cute thing. She still has it. She should, anyway. No. And you know, I remember that. You remember that shelter in town here that's got the green tin on the green roofing? And now just where the new park has been built. We got to that shelter. And let's sit down for a little bit, I said. And so we sat down on the bench there, and I pulled out of my pocket this necklace. And now my nieces, they thought, he's proposing to her already? You know, but I took that out, and I gave her that special gift. And she, of all things, rejected it. No, she didn't. She received it gladly. You see, if she had rejected it, I'm afraid things would be different today. If she had said, oh, no, don't do that for me. You know, it would have hurt our relationship. Now, I don't know. God works in mysterious ways, and there may have been a rekindling of a friendship and a but you know what I mean? Sometimes God has reached, not sometimes, he has. And time and again, he's reached out to you with his love, with his salvation. And you know, it's so important in a friendship like I was developing there and still need to cultivate. That friendship is still strengthened and nurtured through giving and receiving gifts. And you know what? In just on Monday is my wife's birthday. And I do have something special to give her. And I won't tell you what it is, because it's a secret. But you know what? I do have something special. Because she is special. And so there's appropriate times to do special things that are thoughtful, that show care and compassion. But you know what? God has extended his care and compassion to us. And I'll tell you what, salvation is a gift. The Bible says here in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. Read those next words, that next phrase. That he gave. Now, he didn't give a gold and diamond necklace. He gave his own son. You see, Jesus Christ is not a child like any other child. Jesus Christ is God. He is the eternal God, active in creation. Eternally God in the heavens. But there was a day where God became a man. Where he entered into his creation. He became one of us. He became our brother. He became our friend, our companion. And he lived a sinless life like no one has ever. No human being has ever been able to live a sinless life except the man, Jesus. The God-man. God the Son and the Son of God. God gave us his Son. He gave us a special gift. And friends, just like with my little story there, with my special beginnings with my wife, you know what? There was a desire to do something special, and there was a gift extended, and when it was received, that helped our relationship. I mean, it helped. If I hadn't given any gifts that week, and she had gone back after the week of camp, we would have had a good time, I'm sure. But it just added that touch that was like, wow, he thinks I'm special. You see, she wasn't looking for a gold necklace. But when she was offered, it blessed her, and it blessed me when she received it. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm too bad, you know, God doesn't want to save me. Or sometimes people say, I'm too good, I don't need that. You see, I'm not a bad sinner like other people I know. I've got a good heart. I do my best, you know. I'm doing pretty good. And both are an offense to God. The self-righteous person is an offense to God, who's rejecting his high-priced gift. You see, a gift is something that someone else pays for. The giver pays the price and extends it free of charge. And that's what God has done. I didn't say, hey, honey, I've paid for the first 200 on this. You need to pay the next 200. I mean, what kind of an offer would that be? What if I said, well, I'll do most of it. You know, I'll take care of the 390. Honey, I'll give this to you if you give me $10. Then we can do it together, right? No, it's a gift. If she gives me one, imagine if she said, oh, I've got to do something. You can't afford that, you poor poverty-stricken, you know, young man. And she says, I've been working hard, and I've got $20 here. Can you put that towards the cost of this necklace? What kind of a, that would mess the whole thing up. You see, sometimes people say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm depending on my own good works. You know, you got to do your part. And Jesus, you know, I like Jesus too. And this blend is actually a rejection of the gift. It's actually an offense to God. And so the self-righteous person needs to recognize their sinful condition and receive the gift of salvation. The ungodly person, the person who thinks they're too bad, they need to recognize that he's the giver and the gift is intended for you. He loves you and he has given an amazing gift. Have you received it? Number three, a good friendship is strengthened by clear communication. Clear communication. Oh, we need that simple communication in an earthly relationship. You know, if there's a breakdown in communication, even if it's on the simple things of life, you know, what time you're going to be home from work and what your schedule is like tomorrow. And if we don't communicate about those things, it hurts our relationship, right? You know, if we say we're going to meet after school tomorrow and then something comes up and I'm not able to be there and I don't bother to tell them, well, that hurts. That hurts the friendship. Just a simple communication makes a big difference. Help us care about one another and think about what one another. And so, simple communication. But there also needs to be meaningful communication. I think about this story here about Jonathan and David here. You know, Jonathan risked his life. He goes out into the woods. Now, how in the world did he know where David was? Because he was his friend. He had the inside story. His dad, who's the king, didn't have a clue where David was. But Jonathan knew. Why? Because Jonathan's his friend. Friends communicate. But their communication was also meaningful. The Bible tells us that when Jonathan got there, he strengthened David's hand in God. See, there was something that happened there. There was a deep communication. You know, good friends don't just say, "Hey, how are you doing?" See ya. No, good friends say, "Kurt, how are you doing? How did things go yesterday, you know, with that test?" Or, you know, good friends connect and wait, and they're there to interact on a deeper level. Meaningful communication and maintained communication. Let me ask you, with the greatest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, how is your communication? You see, on an earthly level, a marriage that started out as a friendship will be stunted with a lacking of communication. But it will be nurtured, it will be strengthened with clear communication. The same is true with your relationship with God. You may say, "Hey, I have recognized I'm a sinner. I've trusted Jesus Christ to save me. But I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to get text messages from my best friend. I'm too busy to take their call when they call me. And I don't bother to call them when I need help because, you know, we're good friends and we've got that agreement. So we just do life without one another. We're those kind of friends, you know, that, you know." I mean, how weird of a relationship is that? No. How is your relationship with God? In prayer. I mean, you don't have time to talk to him? And you don't wait to listen to him and learn at his feet through the word of God? Through the letter he's written to you? You don't take time to meditate? That relationship will suffer. Number four. A good friendship thrives on sincere devotion. Oh, in our world today, a lack of commitment in relationships kills relationships. It kills families. It kills marriages. It kills friendships. When there's no commitment, it puts a relationship on uneasy ground. But when there is a sincere devotion, it paves the way to face life's challenges together. And that's what happened with David and Jonathan. There was a committed relationship. In fact, you'll remember in the passage we read, it said that they made a covenant. You remember that? In the passage there, 1 Samuel 23, about verse 18, it says that David and Jonathan covenanted together before the Lord. They had this mutual devotion between them, that they were going to be faithful, that they were going to stick by their word. And I'll tell you what, you need to be committed in relationships. If you're going to develop a good, positive friendship, there needs to be not fickleness, not if I find, you know, somebody cooler, I'm going to go with them. If I find somebody else to ride bike with, I'm riding with them. No, there needs to be some devotion in relationships. And obviously, our greatest friend, he is devoted. You will never find someone more faithful to what he has said. I'll tell you, you can bank your life on his promises. You can bank your life on the smallest word he has spoken, because he will be faithful to his word. The Lord Jesus Christ will keep your soul. He will take you all the way. He is a faithful friend. Can I ask you, are you faithful? You know, in a relationship, you can have one individual who's faithful, one individual who's real committed, and if the other one isn't, it hurts. It's a problem. The relationship can't go forward. But you know what? If you have in your relationship with the Lord, if he's already committed, and if we are committed in devotion to him, to following Christ, you know what? That relationship will take off. How is your walk with God? How is your devotion? How is it in earthly relationships? And how is it between you and God? Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I've been that one that's too proud to receive the gift. I've said, oh, Lord, you don't have to do that for me. I'll work hard myself. I've got a lot of my own righteousness. And you've kind of snubbed your nose at the gift of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. You know what, friend? You could delight the Lord today and open your heart to Him and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. How many would say, you know, that's me. I recognize that I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I haven't ever started that relationship with the Lord. Is there anybody like that with a raised hand would indicate that? I won't call you out. I just pray for you. Yes, I see that. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? I've never started a relationship with God. Anybody else? Maybe you would say here this morning, you know, I do have a relationship with the Lord, but I haven't been very good on communication. I haven't taken time to meditate on His Word. I call Him my friend, but yet I don't really spend very much time with Him. And our relationship is hurting. I know it is. How many would say, pray for me? I know that my relationship with the Lord is hurting. Anybody like that? Yes, I see that. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? My relationship with the Lord is suffering. My communication's been poor. An opportunity today for you is to draw close to the Lord, to get saved, to trust Him as your Savior if that's your need. He will take you. His arms are extended with a gift of salvation. Today is a day you can recommit to the Lord you've trusted. Today is a day you can rekindle the love in a real relationship with Jesus. The communication and the devotion. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for these who've indicated their need for salvation, who've indicated that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they recognize that. I pray that you'd help them to take the step of drawing close to you, to recognize their sinful condition, and to trust the Savior to save them. That they would not trust in their own works, but recognize that they cannot save themselves, but that Jesus has paid 100% of the price of the gift of salvation. Lord, for those who recognize that they are saved and there's a bit of a coldness or a lack of communication or a fickleness and lack of devotion, Lord, I pray that you would renew this passion in our hearts. Not just that we would be passionate about sporting things or even passionate about just serving you, but that there would be a passion for the relationship itself. That they would rekindle their end of the fire. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this time with friends. Help us to be faithful friends. In Jesus' name, amen.